getting electrocuted by every elevator button and door handle season.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today is our final mock draft before the regular season begins for the NBA. I'm going to be joined by Matt Smith and Kyle McEwen, not only in the draft, but also on this podcast as well, as we go through a standard 12-team Yahoo mock draft head-to-head nine-category format. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. All right, so we're just getting ready to kick this draft off. I'm joined here by, of course, Kyle McEwen and Matt Smith. Here we are 2 minutes away from this draft, because that's a pause because someone decided not to show up for the mock, and then someone was super keen and made their pick, and that was Carl Anthony Towns going at number one. But Kyle and Matt, Kyle, I'll start with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
I love you guys, except for you, Kyle.
Matt.
Ah, Smitty.
Matt, you there?
Josh and Kyle, good to talk.
Perfect.
I'm here, got you.
Good. All right, so let's go. This is our last mock draft before the season begins in about 5 days' time. I am picking from the 9 spot. Matt is going at number 5. Kyle is picking from number 11. We're going to talk through our thoughts on what happens during this draft, how we're building our teams, what's changed, I guess, through some of our thoughts from a couple of weeks ago when we've had these discussions, NBA preseason. We're a minute away here. Interesting, Matt, I'll start with you. Carl Anthony Towns went at number one in this draft already. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure. No issues with that whatsoever. We've seen in the preseason, he's been massive. The Timberwolves been talking him up. They're running at a extremely high pace. I still like James Harden at number one personally, to get, you know, an elite point guard and those assists, which we've talked about, which is so hard to find. But yeah, can't argue with Carl Anthony Towns at all at number one.
Kyle, if you had number one, who would you be taking?
I'd be taking Towns. You're not going to have any issues with him hurting you anywhere, really. And it's the security of the idea that he is kind of more healthy than saying Anthony Davis. James Harden, he's fine to take with the number one overall pick, especially in head-to-head like we're doing. But if you're just looking for a no holes to fill kind of guy, I think Carl Anthony Towns is arguably the best all around.
Giggity.
We're mincing this whole situation though, because all these guys are good options.
When people ask me, who do I take at number one? I've got number one. I go, just who do you want? Like, just whoever you like at that spot out of those five guys. I don't think there's any issue with it. Now, with these top five picks have flown off so far. We've had Towns at one, Harden at two, Davis at three, Curry at four. Matt, that leaves you at number five. I assume you're going with Gianni Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, you have to take him in the top five. Expect Jokic and Dame to go 6 and 7, which is pretty standard for this season in head-to-head legs.
Yeah, I think,
and rotor legs for that matter.
I think nearly every draft that I've done, seen those guys go there. But there has also been situations where I've seen LeBron go ahead of Jokic or Lillard in that situation. Or it's my turn, I better stop talking. So Embiid goes at 7 and Lillard goes at 8. So there you go. That's the exact situation I was talking about with Embiid going ahead of Lillard there. And that leaves me to work out what I'm going to do with my pick. Look, I am interested in Kawhi at this spot. I think Bradley Beal is the other option I'm looking at there. Look, I am worried a little bit about Kawhi, of course, with the injuries. But look, Kyrie's another option there. Look, does Beal see his minutes drop down? There is no great pick here at number 9. I am going to... I don't feel good about it, but I'm going to take... I'm going to take... Jesus. Let's go with the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
Interesting comment here in the chat. Kyle Vatsal says Giannis went so late at number 5. I don't see that as being late at all.
No, not. I mean, Giannis, look, all those guys in the top five, you can interchange them, like you just said, Josh. You can interchange them any way you want, and then decide to build your team the way you're going to build it.
Yeah, exactly. So LeBron ended up going at 10 here, so Beal is still on the board for you, Kyle, at number 11. And wow, okay.
Shock the world.
Let's go. Talk me through it. Talk me through Andre Drummond at number 11.
Okay, I'm picking at 11. Whoever's picking at 12 is going to have two picks before it comes back to me.
Yep.
They have a good chance of potentially taking Drummond. I knew I was going to have some kind of good guard come back to me. So, yeah. It's just a matter of looking at the guards available, and it's Trae Young, it's Russell Westbrook, it's Luka Doncic, it's Devin Booker. There's it's Drew Holiday. There's so many good guards available. With Kyrie Irving, I could have taken Bradley Beal that was there. Like, one of those guys is obviously going to drop to me in the second round. I don't know that Drummond's going to drop to me if that person on the turn needs to take a big and they're looking at doing a pump free throw build. Then Drummond's great to take there, and that's why I think there's an argument to take Drummond in that 10 or 11 range. But it all depends on who drops you. If Joel Embiid drops to me at the end of the first round, I'm taking Joel Embiid long before I take Drummond.
So just to recap what happened there. So you took Drummond, then it went Beal and Drew Holiday, and then you backed it up with Luka Doncic, and then Kyrie Irving went. And now it's my pick again. I'm debating between Trae Young and Devin Booker. At this spot, I think I'm going to take Trae because I just want those high-level assists. So let's go with Trae Young there to pair with Kawhi Leonard to begin my team. If the person after me just took Booker with that spot, again, I don't think I could have really gone wrong in choosing one of those guys. I was debating Irving, Young, and Booker. Irving went the pick before me. I took Young, and then Booker went the pick after that. Jimmy Butler also in the mix there. And that early portion of the second round, there's so many guys that are all smooshed in there, whether that's Beal or Holiday. Doncic, Kyrie, Trae, Booker, Butler, all those guys in that area. It's hard to see a wrong pick. Matt, we're up to you in a sec. You make your pick and then I'll talk to you about it. But Zion Williamson, Kyle, going at number 19, too high or just ballsy enough?
It's fine. I don't necessarily think it's too high just because you got to grab him if you don't think he's going to come back to you in that next round, which is fair at 19. Then maybe you consider grabbing them there. But I think what we've seen in the preseason, depending on your team build, you can definitely make an argument to take them that high.
So Zion, one of the concerns, not concerns I had necessarily, but when looking at his stats coming over from college, which were historical, so like he's not going to be a 70% field goal guy. Well, through the preseason, he has. He's been really unstoppable, just gets to the rim and finishes whenever he wants. So that's been really intriguing to see those numbers carry across. Matt, at number 20, you went with Kemba Walker. I'll talk to you in a sec about that, but Gobert goes at 21, Paulie George goes at 22, and DeAndre Ayton at 23. So Matt, Kemba Walker at number 20. That is to back up with Yanni Antetokounmpo. Were any other guys you were discussing around that or thinking about at that area?
Not really. I really wanted a point guard. I was hoping that either Trae and Booker would fall down to 20, but it's probably a little bit unrealistic. So, Kemba Walker was the next man in line there. Russell Westbrook, I guess, was also some consideration, but that would have really killed my free throw percentage. So I wanted to try and boost that up a little bit with Giannis. So probably targeting, wait and see. Maybe there's a couple of good point guards left, or maybe even another big with my third pick.
So at the end of round two, Westbrook goes at 24 and then Pascal Siakam goes at 25. Siakam's been really strong in the preseason, putting up big numbers. His efficiency hasn't been where it was last season. That's relatively predictable given the extra load that he's having to carry. But also Kyle Lowry hasn't been there. So maybe that can come up from, I think, 48% he's sitting at in the preseason. De'Aaron Fox goes at 26. Matt, that harkens back to our discussions about the relative scarcity of assists that pushes guys like De'Aaron Fox up higher.
Yeah, definitely, and that's what I'm just working through at the moment. Ben Simmons off at 27. Heaps of good bigs to the left on the board. Miles Turner, Vucevic, John Collins, Draymond Green, Porzingis, Jaren Jackson Jr. Miles Turner just went at 28. I think I might double down and get another guard here because I think I can still get bigs with my fourth and fifth pick. So
yep.
I'm going to take Donovan Mitchell to pair with Kemba Walker and Giannis. Give me some strong points. Some good assists and steals there as well. So, Walker, Mitchell and Giannis, my top three at the moment.
Yeah, Kyle, I think, we are going to see a ton of those big men go off between rounds 4 and 6. So you're reaching up to get the guards and assists, unless you're punting that category, which is a really viable strategy. is probably the way that you need to go. I'll let you take over from what you've seen here as I try and prepare for my next pick at 33. Johnny Collins goes at number 30 here.
This is, like you've said, Josh, it's really hard to comment on the draft when you are in the midst of it. So I think you're doing a wonderful job and just want to put that out there. It's a mock, but I still want to like draft the best possible team that I can get, you know? So I'm sitting here and you're talking about whether or not assists are going to be readily available going forward. And I've only got Doncic and Drummond right now, but the guy I usually target in the third round might be falling to me here with Kristaps Porzingis and
that's who I'm debating I'm debating to take Porzingis at this spot. I think I will, mainly to piss you off, but I think I'm gonna do it.
Porzingis.
All right, there we go. Porzingis, let's go.
Good, because honestly, he never gets taken before I get a chance to take him. So it's nice that I'm going to have to make a different choice here.
Yeah, that sometimes happens when you're doing mock drafts, is you just find yourself with the same player over and over again. And that can be mixed up by taking different draft slots, but just mixing things up and actually change your strategy. And then it changes what follows on from there after that initial pick. So didn't mention it, but Draymond Green went at 31. Nick Vucevic fell all the way to 32. That is who I was hoping would go to 33. But the bloke there at number 32, Isaac, which I don't know actually is Isaac. I don't know who it is that's taken that spot. He took him at 32. Then I grabbed Porzingis at 33. Now we're waiting at 34, Kyle. Your pick is coming up soon. Matt, now my team is got Kawhi and Porzingis. That is a real injury risk there, but I'm sort of swinging for the fences, which I think when you're down the bottom of a draft order, you almost have to take more of those risks. Do you seem to think that after you get outside those top five, it's going to require a little bit of extra work and a little bit of extra luck to get that result?
Yeah, definitely going to need some luck later on. We know Kawhi could produce top five value per game, but yeah, it's whether he plays 68 games or 75 games. And if he plays 75 and, plays towards the end of the year when playoff time comes around, that could be the difference between making a championship final and not. So, like you said, at some stage, you do have to take some chances, especially if you are picking outside the top five, because those top five guys are just so good and so far ahead of everyone else.
And who was that asshole that just took Zach LaVine at number 37? Because that's who I was looking at for my next pick at number 40. But after Porzingis, we had Jaren Jackson Jr. Kyle took D'Angelo Russell, then Capella and LaVine to round out round three. Kyle is on the clock. Once you make that pick, Kyle, you can talk through your Russell and pick 38 while I get myself prepared for number 40. And you went with Bam Adebayo, which some people might think is a little high, but talk us through your Russell and Bam picks.
Honestly, these guys both kind of just fell to where everybody else is getting sniped in front of me that I generally would be targeting. So this is a lesson in making sure that you are open-minded to who you're taking each round, because I was looking at Kristaps Porzingis. I was looking at Jaren Jackson Jr. When both those guys went off, I just looked at D'Angelo Russell and said, yeah, at least I'm getting another assist guy early in the draft, so that's going to take that off the board for me. And then I wanted another center eligible player, and that's why I started to look towards Bam. He's been having a good preseason. Maybe there's higher upside than what I expect for him. But it was also a matter of looking at all the other guys I would consider taking, and I just wasn't comfortable grabbing a Mitchell Robinson. I looked at Chris Paul and thought maybe I looked at Zach LaVine and wanted him, but he went right before my pick. So it's just a matter of looking at how I'm trying to build my team and then deciding that this is maybe the least risk guy with the highest possible potential.
After that Bam pick, Buddy Hield went at 39. I took Kyle Lowry at number 40. He hasn't played in the preseason yet. I believe he's making his debut today. Mitchell Robinson went at 41. Chrissy Middleton went at 42. And then Chris Paul went at 43. Matt is on the clock. Hield, that at 39, it feels a little bit too high for me, Kyle. We think he's going to be a 20-point per game scorer. He's going to hit a lot of threes, but we know that getting those threes later it can be achieved, although at the level of efficiency and the level of overall scoring can be hard. Do you think that's marginally high for Hield? Or when we're in these rounds, like as I often preach, like it's not necessarily about he went five spots too high, because it's how it fits your team, how the other guys have gone off the board, and there can be 10, 15, 20 spot pick ranges between these players.
Yeah, I think especially as you get closer to pick 40, it's really starting to flatten out, and you can. It's more about how you're building your team, what you expect to get later in the draft. So if whoever drafted Buddy Hield is sitting around and saying, I need to get three-pointers, I need to get scoring, then that's what he felt he needed to get at that point. And I mean, I think there's a lot more. Maybe they were focused on Zach LaVine, and then when Zach LaVine got taken, they're like, all right, I'm going to transition to a different shooting guard who's going to score a lot, although I think Zach LaVine's ceiling is much higher.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, Matt, after Chris Middleton and Chris Paul, you were on the clock. You went with Lauri Markkanen at number 44. He was then followed by LaMarcus Aldridge and Jason Tatum. Was Markkanen a guy you'd been targeting?
Not particularly. I really wanted Bam to fall to 44 there, so Kyle sniped me. I was tossing up between Markkanen and another guy who I'm hoping to get here in the fifth, but I guess with Markkanen, you know, the strong scoring rebounds, but also the threes and efficiency from the free throw line, which really should, you know, balance out nicely with Giannis. So just a bit of a more of a build strategy there. And yeah, a few picks away from my next pick, and hopefully I can get another big man with some blocks.
So after Aldridge and Tatum, Covington went at 47 and now waiting on Vadi's Warriors at 48 to finish off round four. And they went with Mike Conley, a strong pick there. I think Conley's fallen quite a bit, and especially with the lack of assists, that getting him at 48 is a pretty significant coup, I believe, for Vadi's Warriors. If we go through to this next pick here, Kyle, what are you... I'll ask you because you're... I'll ask Matt because you're before me. Matt, what are you looking to grab with your next pick here? Because I don't want to spoil Kyle's selection.
That's fine. So I'd really love Thomas Bryant here at 53. That would give me another shot blocking big, paired nicely with Giannis. After that, there's still some nice steals around with Otto Porter. Eric Bledsoe still on the board. Kevin Love just went at 50.
DeRozan at 49 as well.
Yeah, Danilo Gallinari's there as well, which I know you guys will both love, so that's another option. But, yeah, two picks away. I'm hoping Thomas Bryant, yeah, can hang around for just two more picks.
Yeah, Bryant would be the guy that I would have looked at 57 if he was available. Obviously, that's probably not going to be the case if Matt's grabbing him at 53. Kevin Love goes at 50. There's, you know, obviously a ton of concerns with Love in terms of minutes and injuries and trades and all those sort of things. But I was thinking about something today, and you guys can chime in on this, Kyle, especially here as we wait for Matt to make his pick in a second. Bledsoe at 51. With the Chris Paul talk about trades, and people go, oh, what if he gets traded? My thought is to absorb Chris Paul's money, his contract. It's hard to do. But if someone's trading for Chris Paul, they're not trading to play him in a 20-minute a night role. They're trading for him to be there starting 31, 32-minute a night point guard, aren't they? Like, why is that? It could be a big negative, but when Chris Paul is on a team, he becomes their best or second-best player, does he not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he got traded to the Heat, I think he would still be putting up close to as much production as he's going to on the Thunder, and he'd certainly be getting close to as many minutes, at least I believe he would be.
Yeah, it's not like he's coming in and they're trading for Chris Paul and he's, you know, $80 million over the next 2 years or however much it is, or 3 years, and saying, well, you can be our 18-minute a night backup. Yeah, look, maybe he's not going to be in quite as favorable a situation in OKC, but A, I don't necessarily think he's getting traded. And if he does get traded, he's getting traded into a role where he is the starting point guard and he is running the show, because that is what you want Chris Paul for. We're not at a situation where he is a backup point guard. So I think we look at that and think that in general, trading is bad for a player's value, but you know, I don't necessarily see it. Even, you know, Kevin Love, say he did that trade, which has been talked about so much, he gets traded to the Portland Trailblazers. Well, he just starts at power forward and becomes that third option alongside McCollum and Lillard, probably ends up playing more games, doesn't have to rest as often. Maybe McCollum takes a step back because Kevin Love's still really bloody good. We're not talking about guys who just go from a 34-minute or 31-minute role into a 0-minute role or anything, you know, 20-minute role or anything along those lines. Just recapping a couple of picks there. Jamal Murray at 52. Matt does take the tank. Tom Bryant at 53. Tobias Harris at 54. And the aforementioned CJ McCollum goes at 55. Kyle, your boyfriend Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes at 56. While I make my pick, just talk about what you've seen from Shai in this preseason.
He's been scoring a lot. The Thunder asked Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be aggressive on offense, and he's done that. I think it's obnoxious that he's had to play so many minutes next to Dennis Schroeder, because we're not really seeing any distribution duties from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Thunder right now. He's pretty much being used as a shooting guard and even as a small forward at times. So it's wonderful to see him be aggressive, attacking with the ball, because it gives us even more elevated expectations for his scoring potential, especially once Chris Paul potentially leaves the team. So I'm loving what I'm seeing, and I still trust in Shai's ability to distribute the ball well once he does get that get the role cleared for him when Dennis Schroeder and Chris Paul aren't hogging all the minutes.
Yeah, look, do you think, Matt, Nicole, you're about to pick, so Matt will ask you, do you think that there is a... Oh, you just took Lonzo, you asshole. Matt, do you think there is a chance that Schroeder is moved before Chris Paul?
There's a very good chance that Schroeder's moved before Chris Paul, but once again, who's going to look at Schroeder? Talking about if Chris Paul's going to be, you know, the main man and going to a team where he's going to be playing, like Schroeder's, you know, a backup. So I don't know, you know, unless the Wizards get desperate for a point guard, or I don't know, I'm just trying to think of some teams off the top of my head. But if I can just make a counter argument to the Chris Paul scenario, that I think if a team does trade for him, it's probably going to be a playoff team. So yes, he'll still be a starter and play minutes, but let's say it's someone like a Denver, just picking a team, you know, out the top of my head, they could look to rest him down the stretch a little bit more to keep him fresh for playoffs. So then that could hurt his value at the back end of the season. So just looking through some of these last picks, Otto Porter, Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle at 60, Terry Rozier at 61, and now Kyle's on the board at 62.
Rozier has been shooting really well in preseason. That'll probably come down. He's at like 49% field goal, 45% from three, but he's doing the sort of things that we thought he would do. Rebound the ball well. His assists have been higher than anticipated, but the usage is there. He's taking a lot of shots. I think he's going to be really strong in these in these mid rounds for this season. And look, you do have to be careful of that field goal percentage, but there is a chance it's better. Look, it's hard to be worse than what it was. But if you're disregarding that category, then his value is pretty strong. Johnny Isaac goes there at 62 to Kyle. Jonas Valanciunas goes at 63. Back to me, Kyle. How impressive has Isaac been for you this preseason?
He's been pretty good on defense. I'm still tepid about getting too hyped on him, because we saw in, I believe, the first or second Orlando Magic preseason game, Isaac came out and he was scoring more, but I just don't know that he's going to have consistent contributions on offense the way that a lot of people would maybe be hoping for him to have this year. So I guess I'm still kind of trying to not get too hyped about what he might do this year, because Nikola Vucevic is going to be getting, you know, the majority of the shots still. They're trying to integrate Markelle Fultz. It's not as clear cut of a path for Jonathan Isaac to maybe put up some of the production that people might be expecting.
One thing that you mentioned there, it's important to note with preseason, is so many teams I've noticed and have flat out come out and say it, that they're just looking to give guys the ball who won't necessarily have that role during the regular season. Like Phoenix said it about Devin Booker, like, we know what Booker's going to do. We're not running everything through him like we're going to do during the regular season. So he's taking a back seat. I am 100% convinced that's what's happening with Jimmy Butler in Miami, who's got a usage of like 17%, while Tyler Hero chucks up every shot under the book. In the book, both mixed metaphors. There's no way that Butler's going to just have like a 17% usage during the season. There's also no way that Hero is going to be a 60% shooter like he's been at times during the preseason. So a lot of these things where we're seeing guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker put up a usage of 30%, like, it's just not going to be the way that these offenses are run during the regular season. And while these games are great, you know, Carson Edwards dropping 8 threes in a quarter is fantastic, he's not going to have that level of opportunity during the season. He can be a strong shooter. He's going to bomb in some threes and have the occasional big game. But expecting that as a regular output thing, I think will leave you pretty disappointed. Brook Lopez goes at 65, Horford at 66, and Carter at 67. Saying, go ahead.
We can't trust the 7 steals from Justin Patton last night in their last game.
I don't. I'm not going to be putting my house on that being something that that happens again. But this is, you do have to take all this stuff. And look, Carson Edwards yesterday, Kyle, was fantastic. But the Celtics had everybody out, like nobody played, and he went ridiculously hot in one quarter, and those things are just not going to happen. The talent is tantalizing for him. He can hit these threes, but that opportunity is just not there on a consistent basis. On the flip side,
if there's one thing that we can take from it all, it's that Cleveland has gotten freaking toasted by several teams this year. So
they had the worst defense ever last year, and they're going to be worse somehow.
Well, it's because they drafted another small guard. Yeah.
And Kevin Love's going to play
starting
more.
Starting him yet.
Matt, Matisse Thybulle.
Yes.
He was fantastic yesterday. I have heard that he is going to be the sixth man for this team. He's going to be the first guard off the bench getting a bulk of those minutes. I believe he is a standard league player just for his ability for steals and blocks alone. And I've talked about that ever since he was drafted, saying we would stream Corey Brewer, we would draft Tony Allen just for their steals, and that's where Thybul is. All he needs is this regular rotation role. He's got it now. So to you, is he a 12-team league guy?
Yeah, I think at this point, if he is going to be in that six-man role and, you know, getting, what, 24 minutes? What have you got him projected?
I think I've got him at 20 or 21. Look, we've got Simmons and Richardson playing there, 34 to 35. Thybul comes in and plays his 20, 21. James Ennis plays like 15 or so. Trey Burke plays, you know, 12 or 13 minutes. That's sort of your 1-2-3 bench rotation. But, yeah, he could very easily get you 1.8 steals and 0.7 blocks in 20 minutes. And that is enough value for it.
Yeah, definitely. And then we're looking at, you know, someone like a Miles Bridges or that sort of range who, all of a sudden, you know, those steals and blocks from a guard small forward position become really valuable. I'd just like to talk through my pick at number 68. I was tossing up. I ended up going with Danilo Gallinari. My concern is that he's very similar to Lauri Markkanen, but I did want to just show in this draft that even though you do have Giannis, you don't have to punt threes and free throw percentage with Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell, Markkanen and Gallinari, and even the threes from Thomas Bryant as well. I should be looking pretty good in both of those categories. So probably still need some more blocks somewhere along the line. But I think in those two categories where that's Giannis's big weakness, I think I've done pretty well to build them back up.
Yeah, and I also think Giannis has hit threes and he's hit his free throws in the preseason as well. So he's by no means an auto punt free throw or auto punt three-point guy. Like, you can easily make those numbers up. That is not, look, it is a direction you can go, but you definitely don't have to go that way with Giannis. It is quite easily be recoverable to get both of those numbers up to numbers which are not only competitive but strong. And if Giannis takes that step forward, which he could very well do, and this is a guy, remember, Matt, that in the past, he's been a 77% free throw shooter. He's not a guy who's never been good at them. He has been and then lost some confidence. So that can easily jump back up, much like Hassan Whiteside, who was like a 50% free throw guy last year. He was 70 the year before that, and he's had 77% stretches. So these things can go back up. They're not a complete write-off situation. Just recapping the last couple of picks there, we had, after you picked Danilo Gallinari at 68, Joshy Richardson went at 69, Bagley at 70, Griffin at 71, Aaron Gordon at 72, Hassan Whiteside, 73, Ravishing Rick Rubio, 74, Caris LeVert, 75, Gordon Hayward at 76, and now Matt is at 77. Kyle, I'll go back to Thybul for your thoughts on him. Where are you? What are you seeing from him for this regular season coming up?
He's a defensive playmaker, and I mean that from the perspective that when you watch his highlights, he makes plays defensively in a way that's like, it makes you appreciate it in a huge way to say, like, he's out there causing such havoc with his persistence on D, with his using his length to be able to try to disrupt guys while they're just trying to make a move, swinging the ball across their body. It's pretty insane to watch him and to see the amount of impact he has, and then to think, like, why is he the only one who does this? Because look like a singular thing.
Yeah, he is so aggressive going after it, and that is just what he wants to do. And he's did it through 4 years of college. He did it through summer league. He's doing it in preseason. So we just have to accept that it's real. This is just what he does. It's what he focuses on. He's going to create play like Marcus Smart, but even like Marcus Smart on steroids, like going after these defensive plays at a really insane level. Sabonis goes at number 78. Matt takes Kelly Oubre at 77. 78 goes with Domantas Sabonis, who was who I was looking at him at 81. Matt, Oubre at 77. Do you think he's going to start for Phoenix?
I'm not convinced. I reckon there's a pretty strong chance that he might come off the bench and play in that six-man role, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing for his value. Yeah, hopefully we get some sort of indication. But if we do see that happens, then, yeah, I wouldn't be panicking if you do have Kelly Oubre on your roster. Excuse me. Looked at Miles Bridges there as well, but
yeah, I think I'm
Kelly Oubre
had
top 60 value when he was with Phoenix last season. Derek Favors just went off the board at 80. Josh, you're up now at 81, so maybe talk us through what you're thinking here.
Look, I was going to take either Favors or Sabonis, and they both went ahead of me there. Bridges is the next highest guy on my list. That's who I'm considering. Obviously, my team is pretty strong on guard play. I don't really have any big men, so I do need to start to get a big man involved there. I don't want Steven Adams and his potential piss poor free throws. That is a concern. But you know, I'm getting to a stage where I don't know who my next big man is going to be, and I do need to get a couple of them. So I think I am going to take Miles Bridges at that spot, but I really do need to get some big men with these coming picks. I think Bridges can provide some defensive numbers for me. He can get steals and blocks. He hit his threes at a pretty strong rate last season. I'm not sure if he's going to be small forward or power forward for this team with how PJ Washington's been playing. That's been an interesting development with Charlotte. But you're getting Bridges at 81. I'm okay with that. Jeff T goes at 82. Steve Adams, Kyle, goes for you at 83. You've already got Andre Drummond, so your free throws are already in a bit of trouble. And Adams just puts the sealer on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at Domantas Sabonis. I wanted his scoring or his potential scoring this season. I was looking at Derek Favors, just like you were. So, I mean, this has been one of the hardest drafts I've been in this season, to be completely honest. I mean, I'm almost glad it's a mock because I hate my team. So, and that's not to say it's, like, terrible or that I wouldn't be able to salvage a good strategy out of it, but it's just I haven't been getting any of the players who I have, like, uber confidence in. I feel like everybody's getting sniped for me at a ridiculous rate.
No, I completely 100% am on board with that being what's happening to me as well. But you make your pick now, Kyle. It hasn't really been any picks, Matt, that we've looked at and gone, that's a shit pick, because most of them have been fairly strong where they've been selected. Hard to make arguments against it. Kyle, we are going up there for Zach Collins at 86. But again, if you need a big man, and he was a guy that I was hoping to get with one of my next picks because I do need to fill out these slots. It's been pretty solid so far.
Look, dude, you're drafting between Larry. Sorry about that.
go for it, Kyle.
Well, no, I just the Zach Collins thing. Like after about when you get past the 80s and you're starting to look at all the big men, once Steven Adams and Sabonis, these guys that have very secure roles, it would seem, you start to get into that dance between Larry Nance, Marc Gasol. You know, are you going to think about taking the risk on Jared Allen or Serge Ibaka? Mm. Like a lot of these guys are in kind of timeshares or uncertain situations. So looking at Zach Collins, like after pick 80 or around like 85 to 95, I feel like that's just the place to take him right now because there's not solid big men to be considered right around that spot.
You screwed me because that's who I was going to have to look for. So you went with him at 86, DeJounte at 87. So I went up for the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman at 88. I don't know what Luke Walton's going to do with minutes. He's dicked centers around in the past. Brook Lopez, limited minutes. JaVale McGee was all over the place. Larry Nance in the past. I don't know what he's going to do here, but Dedman's ability to block shots, the fact that Harry Giles is really worrying me with his sore knee, yeah, maybe look, Rashawn Holmes could jump ahead of Dedman. They have paid him. I just needed a big man here to fill out these slots, but I'm not completely happy with it. Jarrett Allen goes at 90, Jeremy Lamb at 89, DeLon Wright goes at 91. Kyle, a lot of people are panicking about DeLon Wright and his preseason performance. Do you have anything enlightening to let us know about what we've seen from him so far?
No, I think in their latest game, he looked great. He was more aggressive on offense. And that was when you were looking through his stats and the amount of minutes that he was playing and everything, I just looked at it and said he came into the preseason with, I believe, a hamstring issue that was limiting him a little bit. He got past that. He got into the starting lineup like right away. And I think you just have to understand that the preseason's a limited situation where this team had a clear purpose to look at how Luka and Kristaps were going to run together. So you just understood DeLon Wright came in to play defense. He'll still get the kind of production that we're expecting, but he's not the focus of what they're working on right now. He'll find his way, and that's what he's always kind of done. So he's never going to be a featured player necessarily. I think most of us have. We tempered our expectations in regard to what we saw from him in the second half last season with the Grizzlies compared to what we expect him to do with the Mavs in a less featured role.
Matt, you went with JaVale at 92. You're not worried about Dwight Howard's 6-assist, 4-steal game or whatever he had the other night. You think McGee's going to be the starter?
Even if he's not, I think there'll be enough minutes there off the bench to make him valuable, sort of a guy who can grab, 12 rebounds and block 4 or 5 shots on any given night. I would have taken Zach Collins had he had fallen. Kyle was spot on. Rebounds are really difficult to find in this range, so I'm not as confident on Dwayne Dedman. I just think the Kings front court is pretty deep. Jarrett Allen's an interesting one as well, so probably went maybe around early just to secure JaVale McGee. Fred VanVleet has just come off the board. We're up to pick 94. Yeah, Larry Nance is still there. Mikal Bridges, Marcus Smart, TJ Warren, Gary Harris. Derek White, he's the big one that everyone's probably talking about. Kyle, what's your thought on the Spurs rotation there? And is Derek White going to get back in that starting lineup?
I just think it's too early to panic in regards to Derek White's situation due to the fact that he played at Team USA with Pop. We don't know. Like, this all just might be a way to get a look at different stuff, to get a look at different players, to see if Bryn Forbes is going to fit in there, and also to give him an opportunity to keep the starting job that he had all of last season. So this, you also look at the Spurs roster, and it just feels like we're going to see several different starting lineups this year, probably more than what we saw last season, especially in regards to how that backcourt gets unfurled.
The situation with White is obviously not great at this point. He is also shooting, Kyle, 19% from the field. So I think we can all feel pretty confident that that's not going to continue. He's going to be a better shooter than that. Just going over a couple of picks there, we missed DeAndre Jordan at 94, feels a bit early. Alex Len at 95. Larry Nance at 96 is good value. Ingram at 97, maybe that you could consider that early. Mikal Bridges at 98 for the Suns there as we head towards pick number 100. But with the White stuff, it does appear that Forbes is going to start. And one thing I can feel, and I said this the other day, I think when I was talking to you, Kyle, is that the Spurs rotation has had Forbes and Murray starting and then White coming off the bench. Now, White isn't shooting well. There's a lot going wrong there. But the Spurs have absolutely had their asses kicked in every game. So it's not working. You know, how this lineup is going to go. Their defenses look trash, and that's what Murray brings to the table, and it hasn't been good. He's coming back from an ACL, and that often lags. Defensive stuff with ACL guys, Levine and Jabari Parker, you know, when they came back from their ACLs, their defense, it wasn't good to begin with, but it was horrible. And then it started to improve a little bit after that. So it hasn't been great from the Spurs in that perspective. I am still going to hold Derek White. But one thing I can say about the Spurs, I feel pretty confident Lonnie Walker's not going to be a part of this rotation, at least early on. They're just not playing him. We've got Ballinelli getting minutes there. We've got Patty Mills getting minutes over him. I just don't see how Lonnie is going to be involved in that rotation, Kyle.
I completely agree. I mean, Matt, have you seen anything about Lonnie and his situation? I mean, for the most part, I think it's just there's, you know, with DeMar DeRozan playing all those minutes at small forward, it's going to be hard to find room for Lonnie because of the other guys that you pointed out, Josh. I mean, if they're going to play Marco Bellinelli and Patty Mills in the rotation, then off the bench, it's going to be hard to fit Lonnie in there.
Yeah, there just isn't enough.
Yeah, it's just going to be hard. Thomas Satoransky just went at 100 right before my pick, Josh.
All right, so Matt, tell us why did you want Thomas Satoransky there then, and as you make your pick?
Yeah, he was probably the last one on the board who can get you 5 or 6 assists per game and, you know, solid efficiency, good steal. Should comfortably be inside the top 100 this season, so that was a really good pick. Marcus Smart is still there. Gary Harris, Derek White, I would probably normally have taken him, but yeah, we've just spoken about the dangers there. Bogdan Bogdanovic, maybe slightly early. Spencer Dinwiddie. I am going to go with someone who's turned it on during the preseason. Not all heroes wear caped boys. So Tyler Hero at 101 from the Miami Heat. There you go. Talk
right.
That one through.
So, all right, Matt. So it's my pick in a second. You can talk this one through, but I'll ask you this. Like, what are you expecting from him to be the starting shooting guard? How many minutes do you expect he's going to get? The shooting is completely unsustainable. How is he going to be able to maintain that value? Now, look, I don't think he's far off that spot, to be honest, but I feel like you're almost taking him at his ceiling unless you're expecting him to jump ahead and be the number one offensive option. So what are you expecting from Hero? I think he's a standard league guy, yeah, at this point, but they could very easily come and go Winslow, Dragic, Butler, Waiters all get more shots than him and completely eliminate what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's now ahead of Deion Waiters. I don't trust Jimmy Butler to stay healthy. So I think there's going to be, you know, some 2-3-4 week run during the season when Tyler Hero just goes off. We spoke about in one of our previous podcasts, you know, the over or under of 12 points per game. I think I said at the time under. Now I'm probably slightly leaning over of just what he's been able to do in the last couple of games. But yeah, like we spoke about before, at some stage you just need to swing for the fences and maybe he can get me off to a hot start. But if he cools off, I think there'll be enough value on the waiver wire that I can make that up. So, high risk, high reward.
All right, so we'll get back to that in a second. Let's talk. Yeah, Tyler Hero went at 101. Derek White, Maximum Derek, went at 102. And then at 103, Serge Ibaka, Kyle, went ahead of Marc Gasol. Gary Harris at 104, then I grab Gasol at 105. I think that having Ibaka over Gasol is a miscalculation, but it works perfectly for me because Gasol's at the top of my list to get a center there. Would you have Ibaka over Gasol? I don't have your rankings in front of me. I doubt that you do, though.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I'm not looking at him right now because I'm doing the draft on my phone. But they're in a timeshare. It's not going to be fun to really roster either of them. I do think it's interesting that Nick Nurse said that one of the lineups they were really working with on Wednesday was a lineup with Anunoby at shooting guard. And sorry, man, I got a pick.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, their lineup was Anunoby at the two and Siakam at the three and Ibaka and Gasol playing in the front court together, which would be really interesting, especially considering Stanley Johnson and Rondo Hollis-Jefferson. Nick Nurse called them out in a way I've really never seen a coach call players out, just saying, no, they haven't been good. They need to work harder. They don't know what hard work is. So there's a real chance that Stan and Rondo both aren't even in the rotation for this Toronto team, as their guys like Malcolm Miller have outplayed them, Terrence Davis, guys that plenty of people would never even heard of, Chris Boucher, outperforming these players. Dario Saric goes at 1-0-10 to Kyle. Kyle, I'll let you go with Saric. You don't have any concerns that they're going to limit Saric and play minutes for Cam Johnson there, who's been getting a lot of burn in preseason?
I mean, dude, that's hilarious that you're throwing Cam Johnson at me as the guy who's going to dethrone Dario Saric, who they
I agree.
I mean, if you would have said Michael Bridges or Kelly Oubre, I might have been like, yeah, okay, maybe they go with that look. But it just feels like they brought in these two power forwards who are very similar in skill, kind of a skill set in regards to Dario Saric and Frank Kaminsky. Like, they plan on playing those guys as their power forwards, most of the power forward minutes. And based on the things that we heard this summer from the Suns, whether it was James Jones from the front office or from Monty Williams as the head coach, they look at Dario Saric as their starting power forward. And, hey, man, Monty Williams played Ryan Anderson 36 minutes a game for a season. So I don't see why Dario Saric can't play like 40.
To be clear, I don't believe that there's any concern with Cam Johnson taking those minutes off Saric, but I have heard people mention it, that Johnson's going to be taking all these minutes away. He can shoot for sure, but yeah, he can't do anything else, and I think that Saric is that guy there. So that's a strong pick. I went with Bogdan Bogdanovic at 112. Marcus Smart went at 111. Dwight Powell goes at 113. Terrence Ross goes at 114. Bogdanovic filled out my last spot, which was a forward spot. He turned down this contract extension from the Kings, which makes sense. It's the most that they can extend him, $51 million over 4 years, but he can get a lot more than that on in free agency, so he might still return. Surely Luke Walton can't be playing Trevor Ariza over him. So I feel okay about Bogdanovic, and he fits my team and what I'm trying to do there. A bit of a stunner here with Josh's mate in Singapore taking Matisse Thybulle at number 115. Matt, you're on the clock. Cole, do you think that's a little bit early for Henri there at number 115? That's a new nickname I'm just trying out for Thybulle as well, Henri.
Why? What does it mean?
A French impressionist painting whose name was Henri Matisse.
Oh, yeah, okay. I saw somebody else make a reference to that on the Twitter, and I didn't get it. Because I was like, I'm not smart enough to know it, so I'm not going to go Googling it. But I hope everybody understood I was joking when I said Charge would play 40 minutes a game this season. That was definitely a joke, and I'm glad you laughed, Josh. No, Thybulle this early, if you desperately need steals, but there's just, I think expecting him to play 21 to 24 minutes might be a stretch. So
yeah, 24 is probably too high.
He's also a rookie, so if his shot's not falling and they need some other stuff, they've got a lot of good defensive players. I do think that Thybulle's going to be in the rotation from Jump Street and stick there, just because we're already seeing him like more than obvious. You know, he's passing the stat test, he's passing the eye test if you watch his highlights, so, and just watch him play in general, he's definitely having an impact out there. But I don't know if the ceiling's high enough for me to I guess I look at him as more like
You dropped out at the end there, but I'm just assuming you said that pick was terrible and that guy should be ashamed of himself. Matt, you of course I'm joking. Matt, you went with Justice Winslow at 116, who looks like he's going to be the starter for the Miami Heat. How much upside do you think there is in Winslow at that spot? Like, how much better can he get, and what does he need to do to get better?
Yeah, I think there's a chance he could sneak into the top 100. I do really like him as a late round flyer. I think he'll start at point guard, if not straight away, definitely at some point during the season. And for a guy who could get, you know, 4 or 5 rebounds and 4 or 5 assists, his efficiency is really terrible. So that's one area that we really need to pick up. And if I can just circle back around to your Toronto Raptor discussion around Ibaka and Marc Gasol, I've really got some strong concerns for Marc Gasol this season, and think that, yeah, at times he could be, you know, not even standard league relevant. There could be times when they rest him, when he sits, when they play him limited minutes. And if you guys want a side bet for $0, I will say that Serge Ibaka will finish a higher rated player than Marc Gasol this season.
Okay, I'll take it.
Done.
Yeah,
get,
sure.
Get your check.
All right, so let's talk about a couple other picks here. Dinwiddie at 117, Brandon Clark at 118, Fanderpants, Kevin Herter at 119, Millsap at 120, and Bojan Bogdanovic at 121. I'm just highlighting a lot of the names that are getting a lot of buzz at the moment. So, Kyle, we're a little bit away from your pick. Let's talk about Brandon Clark at 118, because people saw what he did the other night in that game where Jonas Valanciunas was out, and they're super into him. I don't see him coming in and being a 26-minute-a-night guy straight away, but if he plays 21 or 22, he can be standard league relevant. You know, do you think there's any chance that he start? Look, if Valanciunas is healthy, do you think there's any chance that Clark is starting over him?
No, not at all. Especially to open the season. If Valanciunas is healthy, he should be starting and playing a lot early in the season. It'll help take the focus off of guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. Plus, if Valanciunas is starting, that means Jaren Jackson Jr. is not playing as much at center, which means hopefully he's not getting in as much foul trouble and is actually staying on the court more. So, Brandon Clark has been really interesting. He hasn't necessarily been shooting the three ball here in the preseason, though. So it's like, I think what you're seeing is a good situation where Clark recognizes he's so good kind of pushing into that middle area, that painted area, and finding a way to either get to the racket or hit a mid-range shot, that it's a perfect fit next to Jaren Jackson, because Jaren Jackson's out there spreading the floor, shooting three-pointers. But it's just going to be tough if Jonas Valanciunas is healthy for Brandon Clark to be a consistent good option in standard leagues, especially early in the season.
Matt's about to make his pick, so we'll get to him in a second. But we're seeing some of these preseason hype guys go. Jarrett Culver goes at 123, who, interestingly, in the last Timberwolves game, they ran pretty much a regular season rotation. It looks like they're going to be starting Andrew Wiggins at shooting guard. Jake Layman and Trevion Graham have been really the only starters they've used at small forward. And Culver actually came into the game behind Josh Okogie. He had 7 first half minutes, ended with about 19 minutes. I think his minutes will push up as the season goes on, but you know, expecting him to come in and start from day one and play 30 minutes straight away, I really don't see that for Culver. He went there at 123. Zubats went at 124. Matt took Rui Hachimura at 125. Then Ish Smith went at 126. Matt, you can talk about Rui as well, but what's your thoughts been on Culver so far?
It looks like he's going to carve out, you know, that sort of the six-man role and make it his own. So we know his per 36 numbers have been pretty strong in the preseason. Yep. Just a matter of how many minutes he can get. Is it going to be 20 or is it going to be 26? And if it's 26, then he could become standard league relevant. So, once again, a late-round flyer. Have him on your team to start with and see what happens in the first week or two of the season. And just with my pick of Hachimura there at 125, just way too much opportunity and so many minutes available for someone like him, and Davis Bertans there at small forward and Rui at power forward. So, really like what he can offer at this point in the draft as well.
Hey, Matt, Josh and I talked about it on the show we did earlier this week, and I'm wondering, with that small forward position for the Wizards, what do you think is going to happen now? Because they just waived Justin Anderson on Wednesday as well. So that the guy, one of the guy who did Justin Anderson start one or two preseason games?
He started at least the last one, maybe two.
Bertans has been playing. Yeah, go on, Kyle.
No, I was sorry. I didn't realize you were still coming in with your response, and I just wanted to make sure to get it.
Yeah, and you got Dwayne Bacon there at 131, which I had on my queue as well. But Bertans, he hasn't played a ton of minutes in preseason, but been a reliable 3-point shooter and flirts with some steals and blocks as well. Handy rebounds. So yeah, I think there's a strong chance that now, as you say, if they've waived Anderson, that Bertrand starts at small forward, particularly with Brown Jr., I think, who's out injured and will miss the start of the season. But
I think they're going to start Bonga opening night. I think Bonga is going to be their opening night small forward starter because CJ Miles and Troy Brown are both out. I don't know exactly what they're going to do there at that spot. I just mentioned my pick. I got Colin Sexton at 129. PJ Washington was who I was debating. He went one pick later at 30. The Baconator went at 131. The Jedi, Ojananobi.
Hello there.
He went at 132. The Pencil, Harrison Barnes at 133. And then Markel Fultz goes to Kyle at 134. How, Kyle, the question here is, we like Fultz as a flyer, but how long are you waiting on Fultz to, you know, how long are you holding before you drop it? Look, if he's playing 20 minutes a night and giving you 6-2-2 in the first week, like, how long are you waiting with Fultz?
I don't think, well, it's just, it kind of depends on what words we get from Coach Steve Clifford with the Magic, because he's usually a pretty straight shooter in regards to talking about his team and expectations in regard as far as how he's going to roll out the rotation and what kind of roles he gives to guys. So if we're not hearing that Fultz has a chance to take over the starting job early in the season, then I will be dumping him. It's the last couple rounds, so I figured I'll take the upside play on a Fultz grab here on the off chance that he can provide me good assists this late and potentially some better scoring than I need more scoring, so hopefully you can give me that. But if he doesn't pan out, I'll definitely be looking to grab somebody else, either as a flyer or as just a stream option.
I tell you what I'm finding a lot in drafts this year is I don't like Jaylen Brown all that much as a fantasy guy, but he is falling quite a bit. I got him at 136, and I'm ending up with Jaylen a lot on my team. Look, he doesn't do much. Maybe I'm just putting too much faith in him getting more minutes than last season, which he probably will. But, yeah, am I being a little bit too, like, aggressive and hoping he can at least turn something around? But this is like round 12, and I got Jaylen Brown. There's nothing wrong with that. Have I lost my mind or something here?
No, I mean, yep. Look, a lot of these picks are just upside plays, right? So we're trying to see who's gonna take the next jump in their production. And Brown, if he's starting at shooting guard, has that opportunity.
Torian Prince goes at 137. Kent Bazemore 138. Mo Bamba at 139. Matt is about to pick. So Kyle, yeah, with Bamba again, I feel like it's a lot of that preseason hype. He blocked those shots, and then people look at the big games. Go, oh shit, man, Bamba is gonna take Vucevic's minutes, and then he has a shit one the next game, and it gets lost. And that happens through the regular season as well. I just don't see any path for Bamba playing more than 20 minutes a night. As a block specialist, that's fine, but. And this is not criticizing my mate in Singapore here, but looking at Bamba, it's just hard to see where any of that upside is. Because that's, again, what we're sort of looking for here with these last picks.
No, I mean, at most, what does Bamba play? 18 minutes a game?
Yeah.
And that's at most. Yeah. So I don't see the path there. Matt took his teammate, Evan Fournier, though, which is, I think, I'm surprised that Fournier is not taking more shots this preseason. He just seems to be really settling into that, like,
I think it's also
of a defensive guy, and I do a little bit of distributing. And
I think it's also one of those, just, like,
settle into a weird role.
He played in FIBA. They want to see other guys do some things, and he'll take on a bigger role once the real stuff kicks in. I think that's some of that. With so many of these FIBA guys, we're seeing it. Dwight Howard goes at 142 there. Jakob Poeltl at 143. It feels like it's a lock that Poeltl is going to be a starter for the Spurs, at least to begin the season. We'll see how that goes, given their complete lack of centers and pops and Aldridge's almost refusal to play Aldridge there in a full-time role. We are heading into the last round now, which is really upside territory. I do like Goran Dragic going there at 144. He'll probably come off the bench, but there is still some upside there in Dragic. So the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, still hanging around in this area of the draft. I'm just trying to work out exactly what on my team's looking at. I'm not really happy with my team, you know, hugely in this. Is anyone, Matt, are you happy with your team so far? I think you should be.
Relatively happy. I'd probably like to have another guard who can get me some decent assists, like Kemba Walker and Donovan Mitchell, probably going to be around, you know, so that 5 assists. Yanni will be around 5 assists. But then after that, like I mentioned, Markkanen and Gallinari are very similar players. Thomas Bryant and McGee for the rebound and blocks. Oubre and Winslow on the wings. Tyler Hero for some scoring and three-point shooting. So I'm probably missing that big elite assist point guard. But apart from that, I'm pretty content with it. Evan Fournier, yeah, I think if he can still sort of go 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, that sort of thing, I'd like to see him be a bit more aggressive, as Kyle mentioned, offensively. Two more picks until mine now. One, Maxi Kleber, RJ Barrett just went off the board. So I'll probably take Davis Bertans, who we mentioned before, and yeah, plenty of opportunity there in Washington, and give me some late round threes. And but yeah, still some good names on the board, plenty of depth, even at sort of 150, 160 range. So Kyle, talk us through your team.
You know, I'm not in love. I wasn't in love with a lot of the picks when I made them, but it was also just, this was such a good draft as far as the other managers were doing, as far as where they were targeting guys, that I came away feeling like as my pick got close, all the guys that I was targeting were just getting eaten up. My queue was getting decimated. So I was often left feeling a little bit like I was scrambling, which usually I've got 3 to 4 guys in mind. So it's not that hard to have one of those, somebody drop to you. But in this draft, it was just constant barrage of nobody you like is available. So what are you going to do? And like Bam Adebayo, I was just afraid that I took him too early. But it's also there's a big focus of like, if you get to certain points in your draft and you don't have enough big men, I start to hate my teams. So I do tend to, I think, lean into big men maybe a little bit more than I don't even want to say more than I should, especially in a 2-center draft like this. But that's one reason why Josh so frequently recommends dropping that extra center spot that Yahoo puts in default, because it makes it really hard to not focus on big men at certain points.
Now, I'm about to make my final pick here. We had Rudy Gay go at 151. I am going to just take a flyer on Dennis Smith Jr. here. I don't know what Fizdale's going to do. In general, he'll screw it up, because I'm pretty confident that's what he'll do. And the interesting thing with Fizdale is he's talking about RJ Barrett. Oh, he's young. We want him to learn. We want to give him all these big minutes, which is basically the exact same thing he said about Kevin Knox last season, and then proceeded to bench him before the first game of the preseason, 2 days after saying how he'd struggled, but it's important to give him minutes. So again, we can trust nobody in New York with what they're going to do. Smith is starting today's preseason game, which hasn't occurred at the time of me recording this. I don't know if Peyton's going to get the role. I don't know if Smith's going to get the role. But again, let's take a flyer on this guy and let's hope that they give him the minutes that will work out for me. But if not, then his ass is gone. And that's pretty straightforward in terms of that. And most of these guys, if you look at with these last picks, whether that's a PJ Washington or a Matisse Thybulle or any of these guys, they've all went like 2-3 rounds earlier. So those, you know, later round flyer guys aren't there. Whereas, you know, players like JJ Redick hasn't been drafted. Eric Gordon, so Nick Batum, Danny Green, all these guys are still available. This has been a lot of upside picking, which is totally fine to grab these guys and see how it pans out, and then you can grab those more solid guys later. The last couple of picks, Kelly Olynyk went at 154, Kyle took Chetty Osman at 155, and then the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, was the last pick in the draft at 156, and that will wrap this draft up for us. Matt, can you run us through your team before we go, and then Kyle, I'll get you to do the same.
Yeah, so in position order, Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell, Tyler Hero, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Larry Markkanen, Gallinari, Thomas Bryant, and JaVale McGee, my two bigs for the blocks, Oubre and Winslow on the wing, Hashimura, Evan Fournier, and Davis Bertans to round it out.
Kyle, your team?
I was trying to admire Matt's team with you guys. Okay. My team is... from point guard on through Luka Doncic, D'Angelo Russell, which I think it's ridiculous that Doncic is listed as a point guard on the on Yahoo and doesn't have another position eligibility. It should be shooting guard or small forward, in my opinion. Anyways, Doncic, D'Angelo Russell, Lonzo Ball, Jonathan Isaac, Andre Drummond, Bam Adebayo, Stephen Adams, Zach Collins, TJ Warren, Dario Saric, Dwayne Bacon, Markel Fultz, and Chetty Osman.
So my team is Trae Young, Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, Miles Bridges, Kristaps Porzingis, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Dwayne Dedman, Marc Gasol, Malcolm Brogdon, Ja Morant, Colin Sexton, Jaylen Brown, and Dennis Smith Jr. That's picking from the 9 spot. Again, I'm not totally happy with how that team has worked out. Sort of projected towards the middle to the bottom part of the standings with a fairly aggressive punt strategy on my team there. Look, it hasn't been an easy draft at all, but this is the things that can happen, especially when you're down the bottom of the... that first round draft, or if you can get up to the top, it's obviously much more preferred.
Who do you guys have in your queues? Like, who was left in your queue at the end of the draft?
I had Tyus Jones.
Is it?
That's all I had.
I didn't have anybody.
Okay, I had Marcus Morris from the Knicks, still available. Yep. Norm Powell from Toronto. Robert Williams from Boston, who's dealing with a concussion-like symptoms right now. Daniel Tice, the other potential starter there at center for the Celtics and probably likely starter at center. And then Grayson Allen as another possible, you know, just guys who have the possibility of some upside to open the season and potential bigger roles than expected. So those were the other flyers I was considering with my final pick before Osmond fell.
All right, so we'll be back in one sec, guys, just to wrap this draft up. All right, so we're back now just to wrap up the end of this draft. Kyle and Matt, do you have any more leagues that you I'll start with you, Kyle, any more leagues that you're drafting before the beginning of the season?
I've got my hometown league that I'm doing on Sunday evening. And, you know, that's just like with friends and friends of friends. Most people located in Madison, Wisconsin. And then I've got a league with a rotisserie league with a bunch of Basketball Monster users that I've been in for, I think, a couple of years now. And that's always really a really tough league to play in. And then I probably have one or two other ones that I'm just forgetting about in the moment.
Matt?
I'm in the industry 30 deep league with you and obviously 28 other dudes that play in the industry, male and female. I shouldn't just say dudes can be girls as well, but people. So I had Trae Young at 15, Clint Capella at 46. I'm two picks away for my pick as well, and there's a few good players still on the board, but I'm tweeting out all those picks. But after that, I'm done. So, yeah, looking forward to the season starting on, Wednesday Australia time?
Yeah, Wednesday our time. That's the last league that I'm in as well, that 30 deep league where I had James Harden at number 4. And then at 57, I took Thomas Bryant and Terry Rozier and the way back around at 63. This is who I believe I've got with my first three picks in that draft. Kyle and Matt, thank you for coming on the show with me.
Hey, thanks for having me on, pal.
No worries, Matt.
Oh, good. Thanks. All right. Good to talk to you guys. Cheers.
Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Mario Hezonja.